I'm very thankful to be here. I have preached Sunday nights. I've preached at a college church that meets Sunday nights, and I've taught Wednesday nights and Sunday morning class. But this is my first time actually preaching at a Sunday morning service. And I'm very thankful that it's here. It's a very big deal to me, actually, and I'm really honored that Teb would want me to come here to preach, and me and Mackenzie are really thankful and flattered. And so I'm preaching about, I don't know if it's on the screen, there we go. I'm preaching about God as a good father. So I guess I want to, for my first Sunday morning service, just say that for a lot of my life, I was someone who, if I did preach, I wouldn't have been practicing what I preached. I was a really faithful, strong relationship with Jesus, a genuine Christian for a long time as a kid. And I was baptized and it was very genuine. And after moving from Kansas, I guess I started not really living as I should. And sort of, I guess my faith was starting to get questioned. And around high school, I started going in and out of if I would have called myself a Christian or not. And was, by the time I graduated, totally done with it. But I did believe that there is something out there, as I think most people who aren't believers do. I think most people know that there has to be something else out there. I know my dream for almost all my life was to get into film and be a part of making movies. And so it seemed like whenever I looked for inspiration, it was all around me. It seemed like just everything was so wonderful and just evoked a strong sense of this can't be all there is. There has to be something. And so I had a vague belief, even if I wouldn't admit it, that I thought there was something else out there. And especially as I tried to think about stuff like film or photography or music. And so this picture was actually taken by me. So you can see it wasn't a winner of any awards, but I liked just doing it for fun. And I especially liked driving. I felt like I really got a sense of there's something more to life when I was driving and looking around at nature. And so here's a picture of me taking a picture that my friend took back when I was in East Tennessee for East Tennessee State University, which I was at for 2 years. And then I guess after a long process that was actually pretty rapid, I seemed to have no distractions. A lot in my life got taken away, and I was in, I guess, just the right place at the right time. And I can pinpoint the exact second that I decided to become a believer again. And it was the happiest I've ever felt. And it was an instant transformation from 1 second to another. And it was really incredible. And I've thought about that feeling and how I instantly felt that there was a God who was personal and really loved me and really wanted something more for me. And I try and think of that when I'm going through hard times. And I want to sort of share that idea of God as a personal father, which is something, as I prepared for this, I learned I can always think about more and always put more thought into it. And it's really hard, especially as a lot of us may just have not that great relationships with our fathers. A lot of us have great ones, but those who haven't grown up with a good relationship with their dad, I know it's especially hard. So I want to start off by reading from John 17. So this is John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So I want to do a good old-fashioned shut your eyes and imagine this scenario exercise. So if everyone wants to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to try and eliminate distractions by closing your eyes, I'm going to go through a list I made of qualities that God the Father has to help paint a picture of him. Since we can't physically see his face, I hope that this brief list can help you put, I guess, some puzzle pieces together as just a fresh reminder for who he is and what he's like. So if you want, I'm going to go ahead and read these. And then after, I'm going to go over these, except more concise, and they'll be on the slides. So if you want to take notes, you can. First off, God is personal. He has a personality. He's not an entity that doesn't feel or think. He is a person, not a human, but he can have a relationship as one person to another. God the Father is the very standard of goodness. He is the very essence of love, and his love is unconditional, and it will never change. It doesn't come and go or die down when you sin. Your Father doesn't need you, but he wants you. He created you because he wanted you. He is absolutely holy. And he gave his Son so that you can be holy with him and you won't be separated. He knows everything and knows everything about you, which is good, because people that are around you can disappoint you because they won't know who you are, your experiences you've had since your birth, your nature, the way you see things. No matter how much they know you, they can't really understand how you see things. But God, your Father, can, and he wants to, and he wants to help you in the way you need help. Your Father is whatever you need. He is always present. You don't need to worry about tomorrow because you won't be alone. He will be with you. And his character and his love and his desire for you is constant and never changes. He loves you for you and loves you for your unique qualities. He is always there for you. He desires to and will always desire to spend quality time with you. Your Father leads by example. He is supportive and loyal. He protects his family at all costs. And this gets into sort of what we talked about in class, where the verse was, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What's important to be afraid of is evil. And when it comes to material things, you don't know what God may have planned for you. But when it comes to evil, or when it comes to spiritual attacks, he will be your sanctuary, and he'll protect you, and he'll be your shelter. God the Father is affectionate. He's a source of encouragement. He's patient with you. He's a perfect listener. He does not hold things of the past against you. He believes in you, and he is perfect, and he is leading you so that you can also be perfect. All right. So I'll go back to those if you want to take notes. And I have some slides. But I want to talk about for a little bit just the fact that it can be hard to know God when he's not physically there. And it's hard to talk to him and not feel like you're talking to a brick wall at times. But something that I've learned and continue to learn and grow, and I feel like experience, is that God has a different language. He obviously, you know, speaks English, but he isn't literally physically talking to you in English. The way he speaks to you is a lot like learning a new language. So if my dad, who I'm thankful is a great dad, so I can think of him as an example for God, if he was going to teach me a new language, if I needed to know the new language, then I'm going to set aside time to study it. If anyone learns a new language and they just sort of hope to when they get a chance, they probably won't learn it. And then if I want to learn from him, learn his language, then I'm going to want to find a private place. If there's a lot of voices, then I'm going to be distracted and it's going to be hard to tell who's saying what. And so I encourage everyone when they pray or study to devote time and get away from any distractions. And then another thing is, one of the first things you need to do for a language is know the vocabulary. So you may know how to put some stuff into your sentences, but if you don't know what the words mean, then you don't really know what you're saying. And so I think of the scriptures as vocabulary. So the more you study the scriptures, the more you know about God, and the more you know about what he's saying. And it's important to know about God because there's a lot of voices out there. And so if I was with my dad in a room full of people, and I think I heard my dad say, "You're an idiot, Jonathan," then I didn't hear him because he wouldn't say that. Because I know my dad, I know what he's like. And if I hear, "You're an idiot, Jonathan," I know it's someone else. I know he wouldn't say that. So the more you know about God, the more it helps you hear his voice and hear what he wants for you. So I want to talk about just a second, because I want to go into some more stuff. But here are four ways that God can speak to you. I want to read Psalm 19. So a lot of ways I felt convicted, out of all of them, probably the biggest one was feeling a connection to scriptures, which I'm really thankful for, because it helps me know it was God's word, and what I'm certain is God's word because it's the Bible, that really convicted me. And I know it wasn't an emotional decision or something maybe I felt pressure to do, but it was a genuine, I heard what God told me. There's a lot of reasons, but that was the biggest. And this was one of the biggest psalms that spoke to me. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and, like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. One of the ways I hear a lot of people say they feel like they can see and hear God is through nature, which is the reason I had a lot of nature pics built beneath those verses. And that psalm gets into this, which I'm just going to briefly go over, but I could spend a whole sermon series on everything I talk about, which is sad. But I encourage everyone to, hopefully if this provokes thought, to think more about it. But scripture is obvious. And like I said, I really felt like scripture spoke to me when I was in that process of making a decision of what do I want to do. And his living creation, including your life, that goes into Psalm 19 as well. He says that the whole world is God's voice. And I can see in just the way it seemed like every door shut except for me being at the place I was, which was working for a church, doing video, and being surrounded by Christians rather than all my old friends. I could see there is a reason for that. And I could see that the people who were investing into me were doing it because God cared about me. And I could see the way everything in my life was playing out was for me to make a decision. And thankfully, I was around a lot of Christians who were passionate about reaching the lost. So I saw a clear purpose and a clear goal, something I never really felt. And I saw if I make this decision, then there's actually a meaning to my life and a purpose. And so that also goes into Christians, which Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he also tells the Christians, you are the light of the world. And in Christians, you can see a lot of the times Christ. And another way is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And I do believe that as Christians with the Holy Spirit, there are times where we can feel definitely our conscience. We can feel if something's wrong, and we can feel convictions that we shouldn't be doing this or we should be doing this. And so a good example, which ties into something I'll talk about in a second, is, like I said, all my life my dream was making movies and going into film. So I checked, actually, because I was wondering just earlier, and I was going through my journal, and May 30th was the first entry I had that was specifically, clearly Christian. And so probably within a few days of May 30th of 2016, that was when I made the decision to be a believer again. And so that's almost 3 years ago, exactly. And so after about a year of that, a year of training and people investing into me and working on spiritual disciplines and reaching out to others, I felt like I was called to go the next phase of my life, which I thought was filmmaking, because that was my dream. But it seemed that every single door shut as far as filmmaking. And at the same time, I became really, really close friends with some people who were going to start a campus ministry in Oregon, and they wanted me to come with them. And as I was thinking about it, which initially I thought, that's not something I want to do, a lot of doors opened pointing me to Oregon. And someone came and taught a class. As I was feeling like God was asking me to give up my dream to be a part of a church plant, which it started as a campus ministry, but now we're trying to do a community of house churches. Someone spoke at a class and talked about the rich young ruler, and he said, many of us may not be as passionate about money, but what if Christ asks you to give up your dream to go plant a campus ministry? I just felt like everything came together. I felt a conviction from the Holy Spirit. I felt like the scriptures were telling me this. These Christians who I really cared about were doing this and guiding me that way. And then all the doors opening and closing just made it seem like this is what God wants me to do. And I can't say that I 100% knew that. And I don't know if I can ever really 100% know what God is telling me to do. But it's at least obvious enough where it's more likely he wants me to do that than not. And a lot more likely. So I talked about how if my dad says you're an idiot, I know that's not him, because I know him. I know his character. So if you like taking notes, I'm going to go back over that list I read, except it's a little more concise. It's not exactly what I read. So your father is personal. Again, he's a person. He thinks and feels. He's the very standard of goodness. Fun fact, I took this picture too. So, your father is the very essence of love, and he loves you. Your father doesn't need you, but he wants you. He exists as God in himself, but he created you to be with you. He chose to make you. Your father is absolutely holy, and he gave you the gift of being absolutely holy with him. Your father knows you, and he understands you better than anyone else. Your father is present always. Your father's character as the standard of goodness, the essence of love, never changes. Your father's love for you is perfect, even when you make mistakes. His love is unconditional and will never change. Your father is always there for you. He is always there for you. He is always there for you. Your father loves you for you and loves you for your unique qualities. Your father desires to and always will desire to spend quality time with you. Your father leads by example. Your father is supportive and loyal. Your father protects his family at all costs. Your father is a wall of trust and security. Your father is affectionate. Your father is a source of encouragement. Your father is the perfect listener. And these are taken from 1 Corinthians 13, the passage of love. And I just put your father in it. So your father is patient with you. He is kind. He is not rude. He does not resent you. Your father bears with you in all things. He does not hold things of the past against you. Your father is perfect, and he is raising you to be perfect because he believes in you. Going into that, Psalm 19 and this verse from 1 Corinthians 13 were the two verses that convicted me the most when I was going through that process. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know in full, even as I have been fully known. So, like I mentioned, I was thinking about going to Oregon, and as you now know, I decide to, and we are going. And so, one of the verses that drives us is this one. It's from 1 Timothy 2:3-4. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know that when I see the posters for a missing person or flyers for a missing dog, it really hurts. And I just feel really bad for that family. And it's hard to imagine God feeling that kind of hurt for his lost people. But we know he does feel great hurt for many, many of his children. And he wants all to come to the knowledge of truth. And I hope that everyone can experience the transformation I transformed. And I know that when my dad speaks, he shares my testimony a lot. And he says every time there's always people crying. And you know why. And it's because they have kids who are also my age. And they are lost too. And they hope that they can come back. And so, a very good verse describing God is the prodigal son. But right before that, there's the lost sheep, and that's the one I want to read. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he has come home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And I know my dad has definitely rejoiced because he knew and he saw where I was back in the day. And I know that when I've been a part of baptisms and the families there, one of the biggest reasons I kind of can be a crybaby at baptisms, but one of the biggest reasons is that I see their families and how happy they are. And there's just nothing like it. And so I hope that everyone can, every day, as they pray for their daily bread, be in God's presence and experience the presence of the Father and know God. And I know sometimes when I feel like I'm struggling and not seeing God the way I have at my best, I think about the verse from the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." And if you ever struggle I know when I invest in other people, when I try and share Christ, and when I try and shine God's light, then I really see and experience God. Because I can tell He's helping me, and He wants them to see Him too. So, I have one last verse. Because you're our sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, we do have some... If anyone's interested and wants to know more about our mission work in Eugene, Oregon, feel free to talk to us. And then we have some booklets as well describing it. One thing, though, is just, I guess, so I was handing flyers out at MTSU for an outreach event we're doing. And we ran into three other campus ministries handing out flyers. And I hope that if there's one person who comes to be saved from a campus ministry, then there's 20,000 campus ministries so that everyone at MTSU can be saved. And so I think it's great how many campus ministries we have. It's very good. But I know in Eugene, Oregon, there's a lot of people who have what we would call no Jesus option. It's pretty shocking how many people, there are people here too who have never heard a single thing about Christianity. But in Eugene, Oregon, it's almost like a foreign country, just how little they know. And abortion is totally legal there as the number one worst mental health crisis in America, has one of the highest suicide rates. Doctor-assisted suicide was first legalized in Oregon in America, and it was one of the first places in the world. Abortion is legal on the day of birth, and they have no role models. And so, I guess that's just a quick plug. Teb actually told me he wanted me to talk a little bit about it, and I thought it tied well into this. And so I just want everyone to know and think about this verse and think about the blessing we have of being with God and being in His presence. And if you're ever discouraged, just remember to seek the kingdom. And if you try and further it, God will bless it. Whenever you try and share Christ, God always blesses it. All it takes is trying. And so I'll go ahead and say a quick prayer. And so if you want to go ahead and bow. Dear God, we thank you, Father, for letting us be born of you. And for letting all of us be of one family with you as our Father. And I'm thankful for being able to be here this morning and take the communion with the fellow believers here. I'm thankful for how kind and loving everyone here is. And I pray that they can see themselves as the way you see them. And I pray that everyone here can know how much they are loved by you and by others. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.